Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're back for part two of our discussion, the inside linebackers. Joining me again is Nick Mehta. Nick, how you doing?
Doing great. It's an interesting class to work through. Kind of the class you maybe even wish the Ravens had a bigger need for, and you could feel more comfortable targeting some of the players that we're about to talk to at the top of our board. But a lot of them, I think, are just going to go a lot earlier to teams who are looking for a long-term inside linebacker in a way the Ravens may not be in this draft, even though they might need to consider it.
We made the point that the Ravens being not a committed nickel team is going to put them out of the market or make certain prospects less valuable to them who would play the will linebacker spot on third down. They have the best linebacker in the league in Kyle Hamilton. I would guess that Minter is going to play him there and bring in a new slot corner. I think you want to get your best coverage assets on the field. And there are linebackers who give you a little bit of coverage, a little bit of pass rush, who might be valuable guys to some team on third down, but they, you know, the Ravens being not a committed nickel team, really being more of a committed dime team, are not going to find that same value. One other issue that came up, you know, with several prospects is age here. And a lot of guys who are 23, 24 years old, they're either 23 now, which is pretty old, or they're 23 during the year, which is somewhat old. And then we're going to talk in the remainder of the guys. We have some much younger guys, some prospects that are both very good and very young already. And it's good, interesting to talk about how they might be projected. But what were some of the other things from the first show that you thought stood out to you?
To me, it's balancing all of these different things for a linebacker prospect. I think in a way I don't do as much for other positions because I'm so concerned about projection of the pros for linebackers. It's very hard to predict. And so I think I kind of look for players to check certain boxes and certain boxes in combination. I think it was one on your list that I didn't have, that I was just concerned about his blend of skill sets and where they would actually apply in the NFL. That's the really interesting thing about evaluating linebackers.
Could have been Betcher, I'm guessing. So, always great discussion when we have you on, but let's jump right in again with your number six guy.
Yeah, I'll give a quick recap of my top 10 for people picking up. Justin Jefferson at Alabama is my number 10. Caleb Elarms Orr from TCU is my number 9. At BYU's Jack Kelly at number 8. Indiana's Aiden Fisher at number 7. And my number 6 is Josiah Trotter out of Missouri. This to me is one of the easiest evaluations in the entire class. He's 21 years old. He's a 1-year starter at Missouri. He started for 2 years, had 1 year starting at West Virginia. He's just kind of a set it and forget it two down will linebacker to me. The one thing I was very disappointed about is that he didn't go through the pre-draft testing process, because that was one of my real concerns about him, was his athleticism translating to the NFL. There are so many guys who look like fine athletes on college tape, but just will not be able to hang in the NFL. Trotter to me was right on that borderline. And so I would have really loved to see him do some pre-draft testing to get a better feel for what his athleticism is going to be. But in terms of coming downhill to play the run, tackling, this is an NFL run defender to me. Sideline to sideline is the question. I see it in his play speed. I don't know, in his play speed playing the run. When I see him running in open spaces, chase down, I don't see as much of the speed. And so that's kind of where my concern is.
All right. I have Trotter also at number 6. So I like him quite a bit as well. Maybe not quite as much as you as I'm going. He's 21 in April. So right there, that's a big positive factor. He's 3 years younger than some of the other guys in this draft. And that's got to play very significantly. At 6'2", 237, he's the right size. I have a 461 pro day number on him. I don't know the circumstances that always cast a jaundiced eye when it's not combine testing specifically. His only other testing was 27 bench reps, which is good for an inside linebacker. He had a medical in 2023 for an ACL tear and a season-ending MCL injury in high school, and also required surgery for a minor knee injury in 2025. That might have had something to do with the fact that he didn't do a bunch of testing for the pre-draft process. Coverage, 7.6 yards per target and a 108.6 opposition passer rating is not what you want. 8.8 and 107.4 career. So that's his weakness, certainly. So he's, I think he's limited to being a Mike linebacker. Stops to miss tackle ratio is not particularly great. 33 to 10 this last year, but 4.3 career meets the minimum standard. So that at least was good. First team all SEC this last year. Definitely not afraid of contact. I really like to see that. If you're going to play Mike linebacker and you're going to be running around, you're going to make your living as a guy who tackles, you better not be afraid of contact. But he does sometimes get caught in the wash when he comes downhill too soon. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think he times the snap very well on run blitzes. And a point was made by James Ogden that he thought, I forget who the edge prospect we were talking about was, that his stops number might have been inflated by run blitzes off the edge and that he'd been a particularly good backside pursuit guy. I'm okay with that. Those plays have value, but he times up the snap very well. He reads the action in front of him. If you compare him to the other linebacker, the ultra-patient linebacker in this class is Sonny Styles. The guy is like the Le'Veon Bell of inside linebackers. He waits to read the gap, goes to the gap very quickly, has the athleticism to get away with that, and does it well. But Trotter is more of a make your guess and take and pick the gap guy. So that would be the one thing I'd have as a point.
You mentioned Styles, and I realize I made a huge mistake just because I've so completely put him out of my mind that I didn't actually have him in my rankings.
That's the difference in our list. Okay.
Yeah, that's the difference right there. Because I he just kind of fell out of the back of my mind that there's no chance he's a Raven. So he would be my number one, so you can move everyone down on my list by one.
All right, I'll allow you to make that adjustment as we go forward here, and I just want to talk a little bit about Trotter versus the pass here. He really doesn't have the speed to cover many running backs, and that is a concern. It'll be a lot of his responsibilities. And Mike, the other thing is the L2 L3 throws, where he has to be deep enough in terms of his zone drops or the tight end isolation, and those things don't happen by accident. They happen because the opposing offensive coordinator, the opposing quarterback want to take advantage of you. And so he's going to face a lot of that. He has not been a field flipper in his career. He's got one interception, zero forced fumbles, and only three passes defensed even is among 60 college targets. So I know the forced fumbles aren't really among targets, but that's very low ball production for an inside linebacker. So if he was drafted, the hope would be that he'd be able to replace Roquan in 2027, which would take an improvement in coverage. And I think that's reasonable given his age. So this is one where I want to position coach buy-in is very important. If it's still Santucci, right? Santucci still is the inside linebackers coach, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So if he believes in him and bangs the table for him, then I'm, or if Minter really likes him, then I'm okay with it. But he is very big to play will. That might be where he sees his first action with Buchanan possibly on the shelf at some point this year. But he'd be strictly a two down player there. He's not a great fit, honestly, with the presence of Buchanan and Hamilton at that weak side role. Given his medicals, I really don't see a round three value on it. I see a lot of projections having him in round three. And even some services have him at round two. To me, that's too high. But I think, a guy who, if it was a late round three pick the Ravens would be trading back in that instance, or a round four pick, then I start to get excited about the value of Josiah Trotter.
Yeah, the age and the developmental curve is big to me. Just to refix my order a little bit here. So this would put Kyle Lewis at number six. And go ahead, move to my number five. That's cool.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So my number five is Jake Golday out of Cincinnati. This is a guy who I think will be ready for an NFL role pretty quickly, if not right away. I see a lot of I feel like I keep throwing around instincts and processing, but again, it's just such a priority for me to see guys not just in a leadership role in the defense, but actually leading the defense. The other thing about Golday is that he's a former defensive end, And so he doesn't just have blitzing talent in terms of being able to find cleaner paths, but you can also imagine him not necessarily like lining up off the edge so much, but being able to take on blockers in the pass rush as opposed to having to scheme up a clear lane for him or get him lined up against running backs. Like, I can see him taking on tight ends relatively effectively. And so I think that's one element. He's almost 23. He's a very, very good athlete. To me, just unrefined. And it's a lot of the technical and mental improvements that are going to come with time in the NFL. I guess I don't have any huge drawbacks in his game other than kind of the developmental technique stuff.
Okay. I'd be very, I also have Golday at number five, and I'd be very surprised if we have any differences in our top five other than order in this group. He's 6'4", 239, so he meets the size profile of Mike linebacker, and that is some of his edge rusher background coming into play. So it certainly has what you'd want there. Solid athletic profile. No truly poor results, and he tested at everything. I like the guys who tested everything, even when they come up in the 28th percentile or 30th percentile in some of the tests. I still think that's probably a good thing. Now, he does have some medicals. He has a torn meniscus in 21, a quad hernia in 24, and an undisclosed head injury in 25. All three of those are potentially recurring or indicative of soft tissue problems that might recur. So he missed the head injury. He missed the last game, and he missed the Shrine Bowl. He is one of the older inside linebackers in the draft. His coverage is okay, but not really good at a 106.5 opposition passer rating. Stops and missed tackles are at 4.3-1. That improved from 3.0-1 in his first four college seasons. So I look at that. One of the things about Golday is the amazing ascension. He was a redshirt at Central Arkansas in 2021, his first of five college seasons. In 22, he played all 11 games at Central Arkansas. Then he started all 11 games and led the team in tackles in 23. Then he moved on to Cincinnati in 24 and was an honorable mention all Big 12 in his first year there, in his first year, in fact, in the FBS. And then in 2025, he was first team all Big 12. So that is a great rise there. You can see in the run game, he's a very violent block shedder. He, even with bigger men, he disrupts them. And again, that's the edge rusher background he has. I think he understands how to use his hands to jab effectively and use that as a block shedder. He's kind of a reactive run defender. He's not a gap shooter naturally. He might be better suited to trail from that weak side linebacker position and scrape then have a lead role. And we saw, that worked very well with Roquan and Patrick Queen in 22 in particular, when Queen's play very much improved when Roquan arrived. Does not have an aversion to contact, so I'm not concerned about that at all. Does not have much in the way of ball production. No interceptions and five passes defensed to go with 83 college targets. That doesn't really scream that he's a QB reader. He did make his mark as a pass rusher, and not no surprise there. 26 pressure events, including five sacks, and a 46% close rate in two seasons at Cincy, which is really outstanding. Bursts to the QB off the ball, he picks his gap effectively, runs over running backs. He's a fine pass rusher, to be sure. A guy who was in the NFL a few years ago, who probably would be the top end of what a player like Golday could become, would be Brian Cushing of the Houston Texans. Remember him? He was a hell of a pass rusher for a period in there. Didn't have a particularly long career, as I recall it, but certainly did some pass rushing at one point. I've heard it said that he could be a Sam linebacker. I don't really see it. I think he's too limited in coverage for that, and he's not the ideal size to win one-on-one for the edge. He's a small Sam. And he's a right size inside linebacker. So I expect his future, honestly, to be at Mike and not at Will or at Sam, either of those. The desire to play football, very clear from his continued ascension. And most people, most players who want to go in the NFL, they want to play football, but they also kind of have an entitlement component to that they really expect to be drafted in a particular round. I think Golday, wherever he gets drafted, he's gonna use it as a way to get better himself. So that's positive. Might not be the ideal replacement for Roquan or Simpson, but he's a guy I think the Ravens would certainly consider, and I have him as a value in round three and a potential trade back candidate in round two for the Ravens if they were to trade back to the back of the round.
Yeah, I would be pretty happy with Golday on day two the third round.
Thrilled on day three.
Absolute steal on day three. But yeah, I think to me it's projection in coverage that I'm least sure about. He looked pretty good, pretty confident, but it's the projection and the translation.
Okay, so we both have the same number five guy. So what are your number four guy?
My number four is Anthony Hill Jr. out of Texas. He is another really, really good athlete. That actually led to some problems earlier on his, I think it was his 24 tape, the game or two that I watched of his 24 tape. Over-aggressive flying in, missed tackles, kind of the gamut of a big athletic guy who really wants to get to the ball. Had a lot of production, had a lot of ball, sack, backfield production, but to me had just way too much aggressiveness, and it led to a lot of issues. I felt he reeled that in a little bit in 24 and 25. It slightly decreased the amount of splash plays that he made. But one, he's also 21 years old, which as we've been talking about is a big thing. I think he is three down potential. I think he has a good developmental curve to become a three down guy. Right now, I think the main thing is just going to be recognizing patterns in coverage. And that's going to be the thing that limits him on passing downs. He's got the length and the athleticism to be a good blitzer. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. I absolutely love Hill. And Hill would be the guy that I would not mind if the Ravens drafted in round two. It probably would not be a stretch at 45. He might not make it there because there's going to be a lot of teams who I project would love Hill. 6238, 451, turn 21 in February. That's very important. 158, 10 yard has very solid measurements across the board. He had a broken bone in his hand, which I think is a non-chronic problem. It's called a boxer's fracture, the fifth metacarpal. So I believe this is what they say. If you watch the movie Rocky Balboa, his opponent has a fractured hand. I believe it's that injury too that he is supposed to have had in the thing. Of course, it's a fictional, boxing movie, but that's the idea. He's one of the youngest inside linebackers in the draft. Pretty good coverage career at 6.7 yards per target and 92.7 career opposition passer rating. But where he really shines is as a tackler. And this was a big improvement in 25. And you mentioned looking at his 24 tape and seeing problems. In 25, 30 stops and 3 missed tackles for a 10-to-1 ratio. That is the second best in the class. And he did that at age 20 playing in the SEC. So that is pretty freaking remarkable. In fact, if you look at his 3 years, at age 18, he's freshman All-American. At age 19, he's a second team All-American. That's no qualifiers with that. Not second team sophomore All-American or anything like that. He's a second team All-American at age 19. And 25, he was second team All-American and finalist for the Butkus Award. So remarkable growth. He's peaking early. He's getting into the draft at the right time. Top end, sideline to sideline speed, every bit as fast as his 40. Okay, when I say that, he plays with a higher percentage of his 40 speed on the football field than most people is what I mean. He did benefit from some edge run blitzes that Texas ran. I don't care. That might have slightly improved his stops to missed tackle rate, but it's the 3 missed tackles, the 5% missed tackle rate that's really driving that 10-to-1 relationship. He really remade himself in 25. I mentioned that. Sheds block very effectively. He does not try and two-gap larger men. So if you think about a 3-tech and how they go about business, they could be a two-gapper, or they can be a penetrator, which usually means they try and shed at the line of scrimmage and then chase down the play. He's definitely a shed and chase linebacker, not a guy who tries to two gap and be patient and then wait to get his free arm out there. He does it by a quick shed versus the pass. He was not picked on, at the college level. One target every 7.5 coverage snaps is actually pretty good for an inside linebacker who that might be a problem for the defense. And that's despite a good defense that forced a lot of underneath throws. So he's picking up cheapo targets going to running backs where he has a low zone responsibility that are getting charged as targets in that 1.75 snap, one every 7.5 snaps. He only allowed two plays over 25 yards in his entire college career, 27 of 75. That 75-yard play was surrendered to Travion Henderson of Ohio State in the 2024 Cotton Bowl, which was the semifinal of the playoffs. Texas tried a zone blitz, and they were beaten by a screen pass. There was absolutely perfect blocking on the play. I don't think anybody could have stopped it. But the right tackle, I believe it's the right tackle, number 77, was on hill on that play. And number 3, who I believe might have been the other inside linebacker, but it could have been a safety also, blitzed on the play, which took away a potential tackler on the play. And it was a very easy run to the end zone for Travion Henderson. So why do I mention that? Because that's about half a yard of his yards per target career is rolled up in that 175-yard play. Outstanding delayed blitzers proved much too quick for college players who would try and process and hand off to change responsibilities for him. Good gap picker there, and he's much too big for running backs as well. 40% close rate in college. Outstanding second man skills. This is very important. 8 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, 3 interceptions last two seasons combined. So I think if he's on the team, he's one of the few players that forces a change in playing time. Buchanan, if may or may not still have a job if they were to get Hill, but what they're really trying to do with Hill is bring in a linebacker who'll take Roquan's place in 2027 and play him and Buchanan together, keep Buchanan at that will spot. I think he's an outstanding fit for the Ravens, and he meets a big need for the future to replace Roquan.
Yeah, the one thing I add, you mentioned about, two gapping. He has the arm length and the strength to get better at that. It's just not what he does. And again, this is one thing that is prevalent throughout evaluation is what are teams asking their players to do versus what are their players best at or capable of doing. So this is a place I see where he can, again, I look for can these weaknesses get coached up? Does he have the ability to improve on his weaknesses? And I see that with Hill. I think, he's going to get picked on and play action early on because he's so ready to fly to the run, fly to the ball in run defense, excuse me. But that's going to be true of a lot of these guys. And so to me, it's the ceiling and it's the long-term possibilities that I see of him as a 2 or 3 contract guy.
All right. So you had him at 4, though, and I have it too. So when is the reasonable place that they pick Anthony Hill in your way of thinking?
To me, because I just don't think – I think he is worth the 45th pick. Mm-hmm. I just think there will be players that make more sense for what the Ravens need both in the short and long term. It's tough because I have so many of these linebackers I would draft on day 2, but I find it so hard to do that given where the team is right now and spending those premium picks on a linebacker as opposed to edge rusher, offensive line, where really this team needs to stock up.
Yeah, I think with Hill, you're getting such a defensive playmaker that as long as you got the interior offensive lineman you want in round 1, which means one of Malanoa, Fano, or Vega, you get one of those 3 in round 1, then I'm okay pulling the trigger on Hill in round 2. I think he's not an edge rusher himself, but he gives you so much playmaking in the passing game that I think you gain enough from that to take that risk and take an edge rusher a little lower. And also the Ravens edge rusher needs are kind of nebulous a little bit. You gain, ball talent at that spot, but then you get a guy who can stop the run, and that's really what they want to make Mike Green a better pass rusher, and then also bring in a vet. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney is back another time. I think the Ravens have ways to improve that edge rushing spot more easily. He would be my dark horse round 2 candidate for the Ravens. And I'm not even sure he gets to 45 because I look at him as a prospect and I say, no way in hell does he make it through to 45. A lot of people do have him higher, but there are some people who have him down around number 50. And if that were to come to the case, the Ravens, I think, have got to strongly consider him at 45.
Yeah, I wrote, I think about a month ago, actually, do not rule out a day two linebacker pick. As frustrated as it would make a lot of people, do not rule out a day two linebacker pick, especially with the strength of this class. I would have a hard time. I would have a hard time complaining about it. It might not be necessarily what I would do, depending on what the board looks like, but I would have a hard time criticizing it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're now to my number four guy, because your four was my two. So it's C.J. Allen of Georgia, and 6'1", 230, a 4.55. He's got a double star for the other. Right, we have no idea how that was collected. He just turned 21 in March, so another one of the really young guys. No combine or other testing. He has a medical for a meniscus tear in November of 25 versus Texas. He returned to play after 13 days, but supposedly lingering swelling has limited his pre-draft testing. So that becomes a significant medical as far as I'm concerned. But he's a three-down Mike linebacker, can contribute in multiple facets. Wasn't a great coverage linebacker in college, 7.2 yards per target and a 104 quarterback rating against in his final year, but has a very good stops to miss tackle ratio of 4.9-1, and a first team All-American in 25. He's one of the better run defenders in the class. Outstanding tackle, tackler, as indicated by the stops and miss tackles, a good block shedder. I think he's going to need to stay at Mike to leverage his value as a tackler and solid size. He could otherwise go to be a two-down will, which is going to limit his role in the NFL and make him much less of an earner, certainly, as things go forward. He forced two forced fumbles as a senior with one fumble recovery, but if you really look at second-man playmaking, that's not his thing, and there are a lot of other choices at linebacker in this draft who have fantastic field-flipping potential, but that really isn't Allen. Versus the pass, he doesn't really have any standout coverage ability despite speed. So he's, you know, runs a 4.55, which should be pretty good for coverage. But he's used extensively to rush the passer. I would be a little concerned that his usage there would force specific usage of Roquan that might not be ideal as well. So he could be a three-down Mike replacement for Roquan in 27 if the Ravens don't really feel Buchanan is the right guy for the job. He won't come cheap. It would almost certainly cost the Ravens their 45th pick, and I'm not there for him. So to me, the 45th pick in the draft would be too high to take a player. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S., BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Like C.J. Allen. But certainly SEC pedigree, good stock, but he's not my guy at number 45.
Yeah, it's funny. This is one of the things I love about talking with you this entire pre-draft process. This entire pre-draft lot process of learning about players is that you have to have an open mind, have to have your opinions be willing to be changed. And so I think you've won me over on flipping Allen and Hill on my rankings, just even in our brief conversation, specifically in terms of fit for the Ravens and the long-term curve. You know, Allen is, I think I like Hill more than Allen in coverage, even right now. And so I think that just even in hearing you talk about Allen and hearing you talk about Hill previously, I think I kind of see why you have Hill over Allen, I think I'm inclined to agree with you. Things that I really like about Allen, he has the instincts and processing in the run game that I'm looking for. It's just really, he just doesn't look very comfortable in pass coverage is the way I would describe it. Whether it's, you know, dropping into zone and kind of occupying his space, picking up and passing off routes. And it just feels like he's late to react on man. Now he has the in man coverage. He has the athleticism oftentimes to kind of make up for that and still get to the catch point. He's got a good number of passes defended over the past few years. But to me, that is more from his physicality and closing speed than it is his ability as a pure coverage defender. So I think you've won me over, Ken. I think that's again one of my favorite things about doing this is, you know, it's one of the reasons I was so excited to bring Yuri on to Beatdown this year. Just getting more opinions and learning more, because there's no way I can possibly know everything about these prospects. So
All right. Well, I appreciate you introducing me to the BYU guy too, who I hadn't looked at. So that's a positive. Let's go to your number three guy.
So that was my number three was CJ Allen. So I would flip that with Hill. I think that Allen just doesn't project as well in Baltimore is probably my biggest concern about him being a long-term Mike. I'm just not sure I see him as a long-term high level Mike. It's a lot of kind of a similar profile to Hill. Like we're talking about, it's kind of interesting to contrast these two guys. 3 years in the SEC. They both played a lot in those 3 years. They're young. They're really good athletes. But I think I just saw better. I mean, now that we're talking about it, I think I'm just more intrigued by Hill's development in college than I am by Allen's in terms of what that means for the long-term upside. But Allen's going to stop. He's going to stop the run in the pros sideline to sideline. And he moves well in the middle of the field too. When he's coming downhill against the run, he's good at evading blockers. He's pretty good at kind of stacking and shedding, but he's not as good at kind of his pop on contact, which is something I'd, you know, again, from a guy with his speed and explosiveness, I want to see more of that.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on to my number three guy then. And I assume he's your number two guy. That's Jacob Rodriguez. Correct. Yeah. 6'1", 231, 457 and 30 7/8 inch arms. So he's a smaller inside linebacker. He'll also be 24 in September. So this is one of the guys who age becomes a very significant consideration, and considering his long list of awards, it's a significant, degrading or a regrading for him, has the outstanding athletic profile. Some elements are below the line. Some size elements are below the line, but all his testing is above average. Very fiery on-field competitor, leader of a Texas Tech defense that is store-bought. They went out and they recruited an NIL'd a whole bunch of top-shelf talent, including Bailey. anyway, that group. He's the leader of them. He's a medical pro, Liz Frank, in 2023 that caused him to miss 7 games. He's played through other injuries since. Does not really have a great coverage record in his career in terms of yards per target at 8.2, but he has a reasonably low opposition passer rating of 85.9. That is fueled by incredible ball production. He is a guy who absolutely jumps the lane, reads quarterbacks very well. And you can see maybe why that happened and a little bit of his background. And I'll take you through this. Very weird career track. Went to Virginia, played as a reserve. He went to Virginia because they would let him continue to play quarterback there. But he also played wide receiver, tight end, and running back at Virginia in 21. Then he moved to Tech. And I think his brother was playing there. Might have been his twin brother even. And he moved to inside linebackers and played special teams as a walk-on, where I heard a story that he was sleeping on the floor of his brother's apartment there. So obviously a lot of sacrifices being made for family and to move on to Tech at that point. In 23, he redshirted due to Liz Frank. And I don't know how you do this, but he redshirted due to Liz Frank and also won the Independence Bowl MVP that year. which is weird because obviously he's you know, there's something about the limit and the number of games and whatnot. In 2024, he was first team all Big 12, so yet another step up. And then in 2025, he did all the following. First team All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He won the Nagurski Trophy, the Lombardi Award. He was a finalist for the Walter Camp, and he won the Lott Impact Trophy. I think he won it as opposed to being a finalist. I could, what I was reading actually wasn't clear with the semantics on that. But he accumulated literally one of the greatest seasons you'll ever see at the college level. And it comes with the caveat at the age of 23. So he's a older player, more physically developed, doing very well, but the level of you know, play was at such a high level. It's hard to put it down much. Outstanding block shedder. His size does cause a lot of missed tackles, and his length in that case I'm talking about, but he also posts an outrageous stop total. He is the best field flipper in all of all the college inside linebackers. 7 forced fumbles, led the FBS. He also had 4 interceptions in 2025. He has a punch first mentality that I think is part of the missed tackle problem. This is, by the way, pass or run. His defense is all about get the football, worry about the tackle later. That's Jacob Rodriguez in a nutshell. And you can see he peanut punches for the football basically every time he's making a tackle, and it causes some missed tackles. I think, generally speaking, that is an extremely good gamble. And I always just have to laugh. I don't know how you feel about it, Nick, but when you talk, you hear people talk about Ed Reed being too much of a gambler. And I think this is something Preston said at one point. It's just, of course he is. He's the best gambler who ever lived. You know, you live with that anyway. Tremendous ball production for that. 6 interceptions, 12 passes defense, and only 134 college targets. That's very good production on the ball. If you looked at his interceptions, a lot of inside linebackers in this class have pick up the trash interceptions. But look at his interceptions. They're all read-based undercuts. He doesn't have any pick up the trash, at least in the last 6 that I looked at. Had a great pass rush year in 2024, a 41% close rate and a 31% pressure rate. That wasn't as good in 25, used less as a pass rusher, but still, I think that's an area where he'll have value as a pro. He misses plenty on these lane undercuts that he does. But you know, when he flips the field, that's orders of magnitude more value. So it's worth the gamble. He has never once been penalized in his college career. So there's no man coverage situation he got himself into where he felt it, the need to be grabby with the guy and do that. I think he'd be a 3-down will for the Ravens, which would mean the Ravens would go without the dime. Since the Ravens already have Hamilton, he'd be limited to 2 downs in 26. And he'd probably move to Mike in 2027 would be my guess if he was drafted. If he lasts to number 80, I'd be excited about the Ravens taking him. That is probably longer than he'll get. The Ravens could trade up from there, maybe to 70 or something, and pick him up, where he would certainly become a consideration. Very possible he's drafted even before 45 or at 45. I greatly prefer Anthony Hill for the developmental profile at 45, despite Rodriguez's amazing on-field accomplishments that he had in this age 23 season. It's just, he's 2.5 years younger. Hill is 2.5 years younger.
Yeah, I think you did kind of say it all with Rodriguez. I love this guy. I just love this player. There's really no way around it. It's hard when you fall in love with a player like that. And I was kind of holding my breath at the combine because he is a guy who is so smart and he plays so fast on the field. But I wasn't really sure about his athleticism based on the tape, and he came in and killed the combine. And that answered probably the biggest huge question that I had about his game. Cause you already know that he's, not undersized, but not really an exciting size either of a guy. But him answering the athleticism question to me made it really easy to put him here. I don't think there's a chance he ends up in Baltimore. I think a team that needs a starting linebacker is going to get him early on day 2. Mm-hmm. He is the kind of guy I like enough, especially in his ability to come in and be your starting linebacker for 2 contracts easily. Is a guy that to me is the only reason that I wouldn't put him at the tail end of the first round is because of the 5th year option and the fact that you're going to get screwed with that down the line. I think he's I just a really, really, really impressive player when you watch him on the field. Because a lot of times you see guys who are really instinctual, but his ability to kind of maximize that in the playmaking, not just making tackles, but making impact plays, generating turnovers, the full gamut. I mean, I think in my notes for him here, you know, in terms of strengths, I kind of don't have a huge weakness for him. I have kind of everything question mark, because really size that shows up in his tackling and sometimes in his block shedding. His technique is really good, but he'll get swallowed up by bigger linemen a lot in the NFL. But everything else I have, and he is another guy for which you talk about his journey, you talk about kind of the character stuff, the leadership qualities. I just see such a pro-ready NFL linebacker that the age is, you know, slightly worrying. He's not a three contract guy, but I do see him as a two contract guy despite the age. He has the instincts and the processing to step in the NFL really quickly. I think a team, like I said, that needs a starting linebacker sooner is going to go get him much earlier than the Ravens could.
I think you well could be right, and this pairing of Hill and Rodriguez is the poster, is the prototypical case of why age is so important for me. And I don't have a problem making a sacrifice in a later round to draft an older player. I can't do it in round two. In round two, Hill is so far ahead of Rodriguez for me, it's not even funny. So I love Rodriguez's game. He's one of the most fun players to watch in this entire draft in terms of you know, how he runs around a field, and he's fiery, and he makes big plays, and there's so much to love about his game, but there's no way I could take him with Hill. And Hill himself is an outstanding athlete and has wonderful stops to miss tackle ratio and all the things that I love to see as well. So I'm significantly more optimistic on Hill's upside than I am about Rodriguez's.
I think you're absolutely right about Hill's upside. No question. I think Hill has more long-term upside than Rodriguez. I just think Rodriguez's floor for a linebacker transit in the NFL is just so, so impressive that I put a big premium on that. I will say, though, I know we talked about this a little bit more. I'm not sure my rankings are as Ravens tailored as yours are, because I still do think the draft is about getting the best long-term or the best value you can. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Rodriguez has so much value. But I completely understand drafting Hill over him for what the Ravens need specifically. But like you said, he's such a fun player to watch. He kind of checks all my boxes for what I'm looking for in the NFL. I don't care quite as much about size for middle linebackers as much as I do all the other stuff that we've talked about in terms of instincts and processing. Rodriguez just really brings a complete profile. If he was a year younger, he might be a first round pick.
If you're 2 years younger, he would be. but yeah,
if he's 2 years younger, he definitely would be. If he was a year younger, he might be.
All right. Well, fair enough. Let's move on to our number one guy. You introduce him, because this is the guy we just have to accept that the Ravens are not getting.
Yeah, I think this is why, like I said, I didn't have him in my original list, because as much as Ravens fans have talked about going in an unorthodox direction at pick number 14, Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles is simply not going to be there as an option, because a team that wants a really, 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 really good football player is going to draft him in the top 10, if not the top 5. It's just not happening. He's not a player the Ravens are going to trade up for. He's a monster. I don't even know how to describe his game in any other way. He does everything good. The only thing, and this is like, you know, this is the case for every single linebacker, is just his translating in terms of reading plays off the ball. But he's so athletic and he's so physical that he's able to make up for it all the time. Like almost 100% of the time, I feel like he's able to make up for any slowness off the snap, any false steps. That's not always going to be the case in the NFL, of course. But my goodness, is this a complete football player, a complete linebacker, a guy who's going to impact the game as a blitzer big time. He's got such good size. I mean, he has the frame almost of an edge rusher. People talk about his teammate, Arvell Reese, you know, seems to be locked into a transition to edge rusher in the NFL. Styles doesn't have like that level of potential on the edge, but you can do so much with him in terms of lining him up around a defense. As excited as I get about Rodriguez as like potential day two guy, Styles is like a dream linebacker prospect.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. One of the best in years. 6'5", 244, 446, 40. Doesn't turn 22 until November. So, you know, a 21-year-old is this actually is a 20-year-old at the start of the last season, depending on how you account for this kind of thing. He has both size and athleticism, which is absurd. Normally it's the super athletes who tend to be the undersized inside linebacker. He's the biggest inside linebacker in the draft by a mile, and he's the best athlete by a mile. And 43.5-inch vertical, 134-inch broad, a 156 10-yard, a 426 shuttle. He's got a clean medical in addition to that. I mean, some guys get all the luck here. His yards per target in coverage last year was 5.4, and opposition passer rating was 86.6. There were a lot of underneath throws getting completed, but it's still, that's a remarkable yards per target for an inside linebacker. This is the number that's just like, this is just unfair. He had 47 stops this year with two missed tackles, a 23.5-to-1 ratio. It's the best I've ever seen for an inside linebacker. A few years ago, Peyton Wilson, who ends up being a pretty good player with the Steelers, was at 11-to-1, but Styles at 23-to-1 in his senior year. By the way, entering this last year, he had a 15.7% missed tackle rate for his career. And he turned that around. He became a much better tackler in his third college season. And that's fine, by the way. I would basically say the most recent information is most pertinent with regard to that. Second team All-American, obviously, was behind Rodriguez in 25, and a first team All-Big Ten player this last year. He's a converted safety. He didn't even settle in an inside linebacker. He didn't take the inside linebacker role until 24. If you look back at his 23 season, he's got all snaps all over the place, slot, corner, safety, all over the place. I mean, he's almost like he was trying to be the next Kyle Hamilton. You can see a lot of that in his game. He certainly is very difficult for climbers to hit. He mirrors the running back. He keeps sight on the football, and he shoots gaps very patiently. So I mentioned this a little bit earlier, may have been the first show, but he's like the Le'Veon Bell of linebackers in that he waits to patiently go to the gap, and he's a good enough athlete to do it. His very long arms help him shed blocks and make tackles, which is another Kyle Hamilton like thing. Kyle Hamilton, those 34-inch arms and the ability to play with the leverage of a Ted Hendricks from the 1970s and play at a much smaller weight and still push bigger guys around. Styles has some of that. He is not a natural drive-through tackler. He's more of a twister. I'd say that's very valuable in the screen game. And he's more of a tackler like Hamilton. I don't think of Hamilton most of the time as being a drive-through, waste the other guy player. And he's certainly not that as a coverage defender. He can sometimes, going downhill, it's the most effective way to get down on a running back, but that's not Styles' game, and it's not a bad thing. It's a small price to pay, given the outstanding missed tackle rate, that he's more sure about being a wrap-up guy and okay to twist down. Versus the pass, he's got outstanding sidelines to sideline speed. He plays downhill very well. Has great field vision in terms of who has the ball. It would include screen passes and whatnot, even though he did give up, he's given up a couple plays in the screen game that have been longer. And his only interception was a garbage collection, is the one thing I'd say. So he's really not a field flipper. He has one interception and three forced fumbles in 2,172 college snaps. I would be suspending my disbelief for a moment to say how I think he'd fit in with the Ravens, but let's have some fun. I think he'd be a three-down will linebacker in 2026 who'd take over for Roquan in 27. A couple players, that would be true. Hill, that would also be the case. He's one of the few players that would push Hamilton back to a combination of slot corner and strong safety, as opposed to slot corner and dime. which Hamilton is now. So, or we presume that Hamilton will be, because that's the way Minter's defense worked in San Diego. So if Stiles somehow drops to number 14, as Hamilton did in 22, they're going to run up the card despite other needs, despite all things that go on. I don't see any way they don't take him if he were to drop. There's certain players who fall into that. I mean, obviously, if Reese or Bailey were to drop, I think they'd probably be the same situation. But Stiles would be the guy. I think they'd solve a big need going forward. You might even end up trading Roquan later on in the draft. Roquan actually has a reasonably favorable year and a half, or 2 years, sorry, remaining on his contract. And you might actually end up trading him on draft day if you were able to get Stiles somehow. I don't see it happening, but we can dream.
Yeah, the biggest reason why it's just such a 0.0001% chance to me is something we've talked about with a number of prospects. How can they improve on their weaknesses? Obviously, Stiles has a very, very short list. One thing we've kind of mentioned is that some guys are going to have natural limitations because of their size. You know, one thing with Stiles that I've read, I don't necessarily agree with, is that he's like high cut as a tackler. I don't care. I don't think this is going to be a problem in the NFL. I just don't see it the same way. And it's, again, it's, that's actually a feature, not a bug of his profile. Right. To me, you mentioned the ball production. He has the length to be much, much better at the catch point. Ravens have some good defensive backs coach and a head coach who's a defensive backs coach. That's an area in which I think he could get coached up and address his biggest weakness. The other thing is, oh, well, he doesn't read plays great off the bat. No one does. He's a college linebacker. For the amount of experience he has, I think that in his age, I think he does well. He's not like elite at it, but I don't know really how many prospects are elite in that regard when they come out of college. And that's, again, something that a lot of guys are going to develop. And you noted the improvements year over year in his missed tackle rate. That's dedication. That's not an accident. That's not a guy saying, oh, well, I just got to be more careful on the field. That's a guy who studied himself. He studied his tape. He worked on it with coaches. That is maybe what one of the things that gets me really excited about Stiles is the fact that I think it's very hard to find weaknesses in his game. And I think those are going to evaporate pretty quickly with the right coaching in the NFL.
All right. All right. Well, it's just a dream with Sonny Stiles, but it was a dream with Kyle Hamilton too.
On that note about it being a dream, where, just out of curiosity, where do you have him going in the top 10?
I actually have not really looked at it too much in terms of who needs an inside linebacker, but I think the pressure will be there almost immediately to get him. If any of the top 10 teams, here's the key. If any of the top 10 teams need an inside linebacker, then they're going to be willing to move up potentially to get Stiles. And so once there's any kind of seller's market, then he goes higher than people expect. So you know, some people are saying number 5. I know. I think he could go higher than that. I don't think he'll crack the top 3. I think that's going to be Mendoza, Reese, and Bailey. Other than that, I think that, you know, anything's possible. I mean, somebody may decide they need to move up, and one of the tackle needy teams may say, I could do either with either Malanoa or Freeling. I'm willing to move back and trade that way. You know, one of the teams that wants a cornerback, Cincinnati could be that team, might say, I'm okay, moving back. But that would have him going down to 11. That's not really in the right direction. It's really hard to say. But I do think he'll go early, and there will be pressure on him to go early. I think this is going to be a high value on inside linebackers draft, which makes it, I think, even unlikely that Anthony Hill drops to 45, because I think there'll be pressure for teams wanting to pick up that Mike linebacker talent.
I find it hard. Even with, you know, the potential for Jeremiah Love and the other guys have been thrown around for the Giants. And I know they signed Tremaine Edmonds. I just find it hard to think that John Harbaugh wouldn't run the card up for the elite, no question, middle linebacker, even though he did go to Ohio State. So I see that as his absolute floor. I could actually see a team trading up to 3 with the Cardinals to get him. Cardinals seem inclined to move out. Anyway, that's a lot of it's a lot of strategy talk, but I was just curious about if you had any thoughts there, because I could pretty easily see him with Harbaugh in New York.
Well, I hope we have a chance to discuss exactly that thing on draft night. That's part of the fun of the first round, is you really know all the players and the needs are very apparent. Nobody's filled their needs already. And there's a lot of information that comes out with every pick on what might happen with the Ravens. But Nick, absolute pleasure doing this show with you. So we've talked about this for the better part of 2 hours here, but tell us where you can find your work online.
You can find my work online at BaltimoreBeatdown.com. If you follow Ravens Yuri on Twitter and kind of our draft community, he and I have been really hard at work building out a big board. We're going to get 150 prospects up sometime in the next few days. It'll probably be up by the time this podcast is up. So really excited about all our draft coverage over there. You can also find me on Twitter at NickKnowsBall or at BeMoreBeatdown. So anytime, log on to the site, come on to Twitter, and let's talk about football.
And Nick is one of my favorite people to watch camp with. So we spend a lot of time in the summer going there and talking about what's going on in the field in front of us. And one of the things you need to do is make sure you don't get in a good football conversation while you're trying to watch camp. You'll miss a lot of things that are going on the field if you do, but that's the risk always when you talk to Nick. And so I look forward to that this summer. Other folks out there, please hit us up if you have a question you want to ask. Use hashtag film study mailbag. I'll try and answer it with some combination of a 1 minute video, a short, and I might even ask you to be on a short with us, a question for Friday morning GM or whatever a show may be appropriate for it. Nick, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.